Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're about to hear the teaching ministry of Pastor Randy Castillo at Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please visit our website at www.hbcaz.org. So get ready, find your Bible, open your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
We didn't identify ourselves by who we voted for in the last election, and we didn't scare so easy. We were able to be all these things and do all these things because we were informed by great men who were revered. First step in solving any problem is recognizing there is one. America is not the greatest country in the world anymore.
Okay, as a person who loves to make videos, I recognize that that is a well-written, well-shot, well-scored piece of video, but it's a big, big, giant chunk of doo-doo. Why? What I want, church, is I want us to be more than just people who listen to something and get wowed because a video producer can instill emotions in us. I want us to be those that listen to words because words are power. Words mean something. Words tell a story. And if you didn't listen to his words, you missed some important parts. Can anyone point out a couple of things that were wrong with what he said? We have a hand up right here. And okay, go ahead, Miriam. That mic's not on.
Hello? Oh. He didn't give glory to God. It was all about man. Man did this and man did that, and that's where all the glory went. It wasn't given to God.
Okay. Yes, you're right on that. What else? We have a hand up right back there.
He said that one mention of Jesus Christ.
Whoa. Who's speaking?
Of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's what Miriam said. No mention of Christ. Yes.
He said one of the problem of people that believe angels are real.
Yes. Did you hear that? Amongst, he said, the fact that, we're seventh in literacy. We have more people that believe angels are real. In other words, he's saying that's part of the reason why America's not great. He said we were seventh in literacy, 27th in math, 22nd in science, 178th in infant mortality. Well, here's the thing. He didn't even talk about the fact that infant mortality, what about abortions? Now, we may be 178th in natural infant mortality, but that might be because we have the freedom to have as many babies as we want. Where some of these other countries, he said, you have freedom, all these countries. He mentions Japan. Japan didn't have freedom. They can't own guns. They have a lot of restrictions. Same thing in Australia. They have a form of freedom. But we truly have, we're losing it. No, let me rephrase that. We're giving up our freedoms. So whatever, God's plan. But the point is this. He said we lead the world in the number of incarcerations. And he said the number of people who believe in angels. He says we are the highest in defense spending. And the next 26, if you combine the next 26 countries, add up all their defense spending, we spend more than that. But then he says, and 25 of those are our allies. Do you realize the reason why America spends so much is because we spend the time defending those allies? We are the big brother. He makes no mention of the fact that America has been the most benevolent country. We give more to other countries than any other country. And God said this. God says that you can't outgive God. The more you give, the more you get. And I believe part of the reason why America has aspired or come as far as we have is because we are a benevolent country. We send more missionaries to help third world countries than any other country. We distribute more Bibles than any other country. And so God has been blessing. But guess what? That is slowing down. All of that is slowing down. And so it blows my mind. When you see a Christian brother or sister, like on that video, share that video, you need to talk to them and say, are you even paying attention? Are you being wowed by producers? Listen, they are doing that all over the place now to try and convince us that sin is okay. They package sin very, very, very beautifully. Very, just talent, unbelievable talent. So, the biggest key Mark keyed on, the biggest key was when he said, we have the most people who believe that angels are real. Folks, are angels real? Are demons real? Is Jesus real? Is that a problem? That's, we need more people to believe that. Our problem in America is that fewer people are believing that. And there you go. So that's our first one. That was pretty easy, right? Some of you are like, that wasn't easy. Okay. So when you see that, just hone in on the angel part. You don't have to know all that other stuff, but just know that that throws the whole thing off, okay? This next one. Here's a pastor. I'm not going to tell you a whole lot about the pastor. Not yet. I will in his second video. I'll tell you a little bit more. But he is going to, he's going to tell you that Jesus is a racist. Watch.
Did you know that there's a part of the Gospel of Mark where Jesus uses a racial slur? In Mark chapter 7, there's the account of the Syrophoenician woman, a woman who is Syrian and Greek, both of which there were strong biases against within the Jewish community. And she comes to ask Jesus to heal her daughter who's possessed by a demon. And what is Jesus' response? He says, "It's not good for me to give the children's food," meaning the children of Israel's food, "to dogs." He calls her a dog. What's amazing about this account is that the woman doesn't back down. She speaks truth to power. She confronts Jesus and says, "Well, you can think that about me, but even dogs deserve the crumbs from the table." Her boldness and bravery to speak truth to power actually changes Jesus' mind. Jesus repents of his racism and extends healing to this woman's daughter. I love this story because it's a reminder that Jesus is human. He had prejudices and bias, and when confronted with it, he was willing to do his work. And this woman was willing to stand up and speak truth.
Okay, hold on. Now, he's referencing Mark chapter 7, but I'm going to tell you to turn to Mark chapter 15. This is another account of the same story. Verse 21 through 28, but before we read it, go ahead and raise your hands and some of you share with me what you think. Now, I want you to know his viral video went viral. He's evidently, from what I understand, he's a preacher or whatever. He considers himself a messenger of the gospel, but he's got a mega church, a big, huge church. Who wants to raise their hand and say, what is some of the things that you saw wrong with this video? We have James right up front.
Jesus didn't repent for saying that to the lady, you know.
Was it okay for Jesus to call her a dog?
There's a context involved in that. And he was trying to pull her faith out of the conversation, and that was all missed there.
Mm-hmm. So he said he's racist because he called her a dog because she wasn't Jewish. He did call her a dog, did he?
I'll let somebody else follow.
Okay, okay. Okay, but good answer, though. I mean, yes, we have another hand up. What else? What else did he say? I heard a lot of moans and groans, so you heard something. I'm looking for a hand. Everyone's afraid. Right up front. Hang on. We get him a mic.
I think after when he called her a dog.
Hold it closer to you.
I think when he called, was it before
he called a dog or something like that when he's talking about him being a racist. And it sounded like he was accusing him more than it was the truth that God, you can't accuse God of doing anything. God is everything. I mean, he can do everything. He's a person, and he was saying that God's not supposed to do that. It seemed like that's how I felt.
Right, and you're right. That is kind of what he was saying, that God was wrong, and Jesus, as James said, Jesus repented.
Yeah.
But so what else did you see wrong with that? That's it?
That I think this guy was stupid.
Okay. Okay, here's what we want to do. We don't just want to call him names. We want to point out. We want to draw from his own words what is wrong. Yes, Susan. Wait, turn that on.
The sad part of what stuck out to me was, if he really knew Jesus Christ and was filled with the Holy Spirit, then he would know. He doesn't know Jesus. If he knew him, he wouldn't be saying those things.
Okay.
That's the obvious thing to me.
And you're absolutely right. I agree with that. But why? What is happening here? Do you have any idea?
I know he's being deceived. He's deceived, and he's trying to make Jesus more palatable, more human, to try to draw more people in, maybe.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure that's what he's trying to do. We have a hand here, and then we have Jennifer's hand in the front. So if we could have that mic up. Yes.
Isn't he, like, adding words to the Bible when he said Jesus repented? You can't do that. You can't take away or add anything to what has been written.
That's excellent. Yes,
right?
He did. He did add
ideas
and words that weren't there.
Yeah.
Yes, awesome. Okay. We have Jennifer up front, right up front, right here.
I would say that his assessment of her being a dog is just her spiritual situation, that she was not saved. And therefore, not that it was based on her race, but it was based on her spirituality. And then he took it a step further and said, because he's racist, well, you act like you established the fact that he was racist, and that's just a lie. So,
okay. And he said one more statement he said that I heard you guys gasp, and I was like, you good? He said something else. What else did he say about Jesus? That he was human. He said he was human. Now, real quick, before we read Matthew 15, can we play that video again just to refresh before we go into the verse?
Did you know that there's a part of the Gospel of Mark where Jesus uses a racial slur? In Mark chapter 7, there's the account of the Syrophoenician woman, a woman who is Syrian and Greek, both of which there were strong biases against within the Jewish community. And she comes to ask Jesus to heal her daughter who's possessed by a demon. And what is Jesus's response? He says, it's not good for me to give the children's food, meaning the children of Israel's food, to dogs. He calls her a dog. What's amazing about this account is that the woman doesn't back down. She speaks truth to power. She confronts Jesus and says, well, you can think that about me, but even dogs deserve the crumbs from the table. Her boldness and bravery to speak truth to power actually changes Jesus' mind. Jesus repents of his racism and extends healing to this woman's daughter. I love this story because it's a reminder that Jesus is human. He had prejudices and bias, and when confronted with it, he was willing to do his work. And this woman was willing to stand up and speak truth.
In his mind, she's the hero because she spoke truth to power. You know, Jesus has the power, but she had the truth. I'm sorry. Doesn't the Bible say that Jesus is the way, the truth? Jesus is truth. So he's a wackadoodle in that. But real quick, let's read Matthew 15, verse 21 through 28. Then Jesus went out from there and departed from the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. Oh, isn't that funny? Even the disciples are off. See, she ain't crying out for y'all. She's crying out for us. She wanted Jesus. But it's human nature. I love that. Anyways, that's a whole study right there, but let's move. Verse 24. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Now, did he call her a dog? No. He used the parable of, listen, if I was sent for the Jews, they are the priority. I'm not supposed to take it and give it to someone else. He's not calling her a dog, but even if he did, notice the terminology here. If you go look it up in the Greek, it says little dog. It's a puppy. I'm sorry. Do puppies offend you? We even sing songs, and they call it puppy love, right? Why? Because puppies are cute. If he were calling her a name, he's calling her an adorable puppy. He's not something offensive. She's not calling her a mutt or, you know, a junkyard dog. He's a little puppy. You don't give the little kids to the little puppies. See, he's even being endearing in this. But this guy who thinks he's a scholar doesn't even take time to look up the word in the Greek. I want to slap him. No, I don't. I pray for him. Verse 27. And she said, yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And Jesus answered and said to her, oh, woman, great is your faith. Let it be as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. See, as James said, rightfully said, Jesus was purposefully pulling her faith out. Why? Why would he do that? Anybody want to tell me? Why would he do that? Hang on. You need to raise your hand and have a mic because everyone needs to hear you. Go ahead.
Because his own weren't receiving him.
Okay, what do you mean by that? That's a pretty broad statement. His own weren't receiving him. What does that mean?
He was sent for the people of Israel.
Mm-hmm. And they weren't...
It wasn't his time yet, I guess, for the Gentiles.
Right.
Which the Gentiles were often referred to as dogs.
Yeah, but in a not little dogs. Yeah. They were called like mutt dogs in a very vile way. Yeah. They would try and denigrate them. But you're right. The Israelites, the ones that he came to, were not receiving him. So he was pulling her faith out. And for who else was he pulling her faith out for? Raise your hand, please. Raise your hand.
It was for her, so she could hear it.
Okay, so to expand her faith. But listen, she came to him, and she refused to turn away. So her faith was already there. It was on display. Who else was he displaying his faith for? Now, hold on. You got to raise your hand. We got two hands up right here. Yes, sir.
It was for the people around listening so they could see her accepting and they would actually witness her daughter being healed once he said, your faith is great.
Yes.
The Israelites.
The Israelites. That would be one more group of people. Well, actually two more. But okay, in that, Mark, you're right. The Israelites, the people around, which would include his disciples. But there's one more group of people that this is for. We got a hand right here from...
The disciples told him to just blow her off. And he was trying to tell the disciples that that was not what you do.
Yes, so the Israelites, the people around him, the disciples, the woman, yes, but her faith was there on display. But there's one more group.
The Pharisees.
The Pharisees, there's one more group. That would include, that's good though, yay, you get a gold star. There's one more group. There's one more group of people. Okay, last hand, right back there in the back.
For us.
For us. As we read this account, this woman, listen, here's the thing. When you and I have a difficulty in our life, when you and I are lacking answers and we want to see God, so often we'll pray to God and we don't get the response we want when we want, we give up. This woman shows us that sometimes you need to be persistent. Here's what it says in James. The fervent, effectual prayers of a righteous man avail him much. Fervent, effectual means the ongoing, consistent, persistent. You know, some people say, well, you know, I don't want to pray the same thing over and over again. This woman did, and God loved it. God doesn't go, oh, man, Randy, again, you're going to pray for that? No, he goes, look at his faith. He doesn't quit coming to me with the same thing. He doesn't get tired. He knows that I am the only one that can bring the answer. So this is an example to the Israelites that are not really receiving Christ, to the Pharisees who hate Christ, to his disciples who are sending her away. She's after us. And for us to go, you know what? When we have need, we need to continually, repeatedly go to God. But this guy here, this person, whatever he is, says that Jesus is human. He says that Jesus, she spoke truth to power, and that he needed to repent. He forgets that John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. When did that happen? In Jesus. Listen, Jesus knew full well that the woman wasn't going to give up. How do I know this? John chapter 2, verse 24, but Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men. These men wanted Jesus to be their ruler and all this. He says, no, I'm not committed. They don't want that. They don't want me. Or how about Matthew 9, 4? But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? I like Mark's wording actually a little better. Mark chapter 2, verse 8. But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your heart? Listen, Jesus, although he made himself 100% man, he was still 100% God. And at certain times, he knew what was in someone's heart. He knew this woman wouldn't give up. That's why he didn't listen to the disciples. He didn't send her away. Instead, he challenged her faith. I don't know about you. Let me ask you a question. Do you not find that God tends to challenge your faith in difficult times by letting you go a little longer each time to see if you're going to quit praying and asking him? Yeah. Is that him being cruel, calling you a dog? No. That's him wanting you to be an example. Just like this woman was an example to the disciples, she was an example to the crowd and the Israelites, she was an example to the other Gentiles, she's an example to us. When you continually trust in God, even when it feels like God's not answering you, but you keep going back to him, you become a testimony to those in your family, those at your workplace, those who are around you. Your faith grows, everything grows. And that's the point. And this so-called pastor wants to make it about Jesus repenting and speaking truth to power. Well, doesn't that sound good? Hey, brothers, watch this. Hey, you know what you can do as Christians? You can speak truth to power. I'm sorry, folks. There is not a greater truth than God. So how can I speak truth to power? I can only speak his truth back to him. I have no truth in myself. In my heart is desperately wicked, depraved. So is yours. So we can, the only time I speak truth is when I'm speaking God's word and it's back to him. And he's, yeah, I wrote that. And he is power. He is power. So interesting video. That went viral. People love that. Here's why. They want to cancel Jesus now. I don't know if you know that. They want to cancel Jesus. They want to make church irrelevant. You know what I love about that? It's not going to be long, folks, when the church is just going to be only those who truly believe. All the rest will fall away because it's no longer convenient. All the Joel Osteens and all these guys that speak this faith and prosperity, their churches are going to shrink and they're going to go, uh-oh, what happened? Because, listen, it doesn't work. All right. Is that a good video? Like that one? Is that a challenge? Okay? All right. How about this? Before I show you the next video, I got a question. I heard a girl say, when she was picketing for Jesus out on the street corner against some gay marriage stuff, someone came up to her and said, "Why do you hate homosexuals?" And she says, "I don't hate gays. God does." Is that wrong or right? Don't. I can't hear you if you don't have a mic and your hand up in the air. We got.
God doesn't hate homosexuals. He hates the sin. He loves all people.
Are you sure?
Yes.
How do you know?
For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
Okay, but aren't there scriptures in the Bible that seem to say that God doesn't approve of homosexuality?
It's a sin. He doesn't approve of sin. It separates us from him. He loves the people. We are to love each other. We are to hate the sin.
Christ. So let me just ask you real quick. Does that mean that someone can be gay and go to heaven?
No.
No?
No. The Bible is specific on that. And that
so then he does hate gays.
He doesn't.
If there are no gays in heaven.
The sin separates us from God. It is a choice that we make.
But you just said there are no gays in heaven. Okay, so are there any adulterers in heaven?
No adultery in heaven. No drunkards.
No. That is not what I listened to my words. I didn't say, will we commit adultery in heaven? I didn't say that.
Okay. Oh, I got it.
I didn't say that. Now, listen, here's the thing. When someone asks you a question about the Bible or God, it is most imperative, Christian, that you don't just spout off what you think is the answer, but you actually listen to what they're asking you. Words mean something. Now, I asked her if there are going to be any homosexuals in heaven. She said no. So then I said, are there going to be any adulterers in heaven? She said, we will not commit adultery in heaven. That's not what I asked.
Right. I got what you're saying now. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us.
What does that mean?
Sins. That means if you did lead that kind of lifestyle and you turned from it and you changed and you repented of it and started living for God, then you are forgiven of that sin.
That's it?
And no more.
Let's say I used to be a drug dealer, okay?
Okay.
And I stopped dealing drugs, I stopped doing drugs, and now I go to the church and I'm an usher. I'm saved.
Well, you have to accept Jesus Christ.
You see, you left that out. You have to be careful with your words, because what you just told me, I'm just going to tell you, you're a seasoned Christian. What you just told me gave me a false hope. You just said that all I had to do was turn away from that sin and start living for God. You mentioned nothing about Jesus, nothing about the cross, nothing about forgiveness only comes through the cross. Christians, we have to take our time. We have to be sure about what we're saying. What happens is we say it so often that it now becomes something motorized and not something where it's actually, we're giving the information that we need. So, someone else. Who else has their hand up? Right here. Yes.
1 Timothy 10 states that for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, all of that is sin. That's against God's law.
Right.
That's bad.
Yes. So, my question, you read a great verse, awesome verse. My question is, so will can a homosexual be in heaven? Can an adulterer be in heaven? Please don't yell it out. I'm talking with the person with the microphone.
No.
Why?
Because it's against God's law.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever committed a sin in your life?
Yes.
Will you go to heaven?
God forgave me those sins.
Oh, so he can forgive you, but he can't forgive someone else.
If they repent of that sin and they've changed their ways and they no longer commit that sin, and God has forgiven them of that sin, and they no longer commit that sin, yes, they can go to heaven.
Okay, so a homosexual
If they repent of those ways and no longer commit that sin, yes.
That's it? Just,
if they,
okay, today I'm a homosexual. Tomorrow I stop. I'm going to heaven.
I think that's what God intends, yes.
Okay, so. Once again, what is she missing? Okay, you have your hand up. You had your hand up.
Yes, I do.
Okay, what is she missing?
Jesus Christ, the fact that he died on the cross for our sins, that's where we get salvation. If it wasn't for him dying on that cross, we wouldn't all be going straight to hell.
Yes. So, folks, here's two. Let's use adultery. Because, listen, homosexuality, adultery, same thing in God's eyes. Same thing. So here we got an adulterer and an adulterer. This adulterer stops committing adultery. This adulterer says, God, please forgive me, and stops committing adultery. Lord Jesus, I need your forgiveness. I know you died for my sins. Therefore, I don't want these sins anymore. This guy, even though he quit, he still could go to hell if he doesn't call on Jesus. Jesus Christ, when you talk to somebody and they ask you, can a homosexual go to heaven if they've repented of their sin by receiving the free gift of Jesus Christ on the cross, paying for that gift? If they just say, I'm quitting because I know God doesn't like it, it's receiving Christ. Christ is the reason. Christ is the reason that someone can be saved. And the rejection of Christ is the reason someone will go to hell. Now, we have another hand. Yes.
What about the thief on the cross?
Yes, what about him?
I think he went to heaven, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, that's all we need to know.
Yes, but whoa. You still have the mic? Why did he go to heaven?
Because Jesus said, today I'll meet you in heaven.
Why did Jesus tell him that?
Because he forgave him.
Why did Jesus forgive him?
Because he loves everybody.
But this particular guy, why did God forgive him?
Because he asked. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise.
Why?
Not better. Why? Because he's a forgiving God. Every day, day.
But
if we take and completely continue every day to pray, even though it don't come our way, but believe that God has a plan, right. That's all we need.
Yes, the reason why, just to wrap this part up, the reason why God told him this day you'll be in paradise is because that thief put his trust in Christ on the cross.
Right.
Not just because God's a loving God, because there are plenty of people in the world and God loves them all, but only the ones who put their faith in Christ on the cross will be saved. That thief put his faith in Christ on the cross.
Amen.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Awesome. So when you explain who's going to heaven, it's not repent of your sin, although that's an important part, because there's two sides of this coin. One side says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. Well, if I believe in Jesus, but I don't repent, then my belief in him is no different than a demon, according to James. But then the other side, people say, you got to repent. Well, if I repent without believing in Christ, I'm still lost. It takes the two. First, I believe in Christ, and because I believe in Christ, then I repent. That is the winning combination, but it all starts with putting your faith in Christ on the cross. That must not be omitted from the gospel that we preach. Most important part. Now, this viral video is something you may have to confront someone on. Watch.
My baby is gay. Yeah, this is him. He's gay. I called up my dad and I said, hey, guess what? Your grandson? Gay. Gay, gay, gay. My dad says, you can't just say that your baby is gay before he gets a chance to tell us he's gay. And I go, whoa. Straight people do it all the time. Little baby boy is born. Oh, he's gonna be a heartbreaker. Little baby girl is born. Oh, you better lock her up when she turns 16. Clearly, people want their children
to be straight.
Well, my son is gay. Gay. Very gay. Very gay. Gay.
That went viral. That's a very popular video, folks. So, someone's got to give me, don't just blurt it out. Please raise your hand. And if someone sent that to you and said, isn't this wonderful, this woman's stance? How she defends what she believes? How do you answer that, Christian? How about this? I'll give you a little bit. Don't call her stupid.
Yeah, I know that. What gives her the right to call this child that hasn't even been, what, 2 years old, to say what he's going to be?
Okay, the problem with what you just said is you just gave me a question. I'm asking you, what do you think about her? And you're asking me a question. What you're doing is...
I believe that it is wrong for her to put this in this child's life and give him a name that it could change. I mean, it could change his life.
But did you hear what she said? But hold on. Did you listen to her? Because I'm going to pretend to be her. Sir, when you have a child and you have a little junior boy, and you're like, oh, I can't wait for him. You know, he's going to be his graduation or his prom, his first prom, and his girlfriend. You assume that he's going to be straight. I'm assuming my baby's going to be gay. Why am I wrong and you're right?
The assumption of what, I didn't get an assumption to my when I watched it. She was bluntly saying he's going to be gay.
And she was also saying that people... heterosexual people have babies, and we bluntly say that our little boy one day is going to get married to a girl. Our little girl one day is going to have her knight in shining armor, whisk her away. I'm going to protect daddy's little girl from all those boys. Better be the right boy. That's automatically assuming that our child is heterosexual. So if you can do that, why can't she do what she's doing? What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with it? It's not moral.
According to who?
Jesus Christ.
What if I don't believe in Jesus?
Then I'll pray for you.
We have Mark had his hand up in the back.
All I saw with her was someone that wants attention and is trying to put attention on herself and, you know, just trying to make her statement. And honestly, it could be a YouTuber just trying to get hits to go viral.
Okay, except, y'all know who Charlize Theron is?
Yeah.
She dresses her kids up as her little boys as little girls and her little girls as little boys. She has, I think, two or three that she's adopted, and she's raising them to be the opposite sex than what they are. There are several movie stars that are doing that, and they're not doing, they already have all the attention. I agree with you. I think that might be a very... But I believe she believes her point strongly, and now that is viral. But they are doing that. That is becoming very popular. Celine Dion has her clothing line that is so demonic, and it's all about being androgynous.
Yeah.
And it's very disturbing.
I mean, you can't say anything else. It's disturbing. It's that people definitely don't have their life on the right track. They've gone the other path, and they're... You know, taking the cultural thing that, you know, everything's good for you. It's like going back to the 60s in a lot of ways, but just with different things.
Dude, I think we're making the 60s look like tea and crumpets. Okay, so you're absolutely right, Mark, but how do we defend our faith other than saying Jesus didn't like it? Well, there has to be more to it. There has to be what kind of a defense would you give if tomorrow you look in your mailbox and one of your best friends sends you that video and says, isn't that great? Isn't that a great video? I stand up and I applaud her for being so brave.
You have to lead your children in the right direction.
and show them which way to go and not just whatever you want to do.
Yes, but, okay, and you're right. I agree with you. That's a right biblical principle. But the problem is, well, that's right for you. That doesn't mean biblical principles are right for me. Here you go. I want my child to be his own person. Not mandated by a 2,000-year-old, 6,000-year-old book. 4,000-year-old book. Any other hands? Okay, great. Love the bravery.
I don't know about this, but your ideas and God's ideas are two different things. If you have a little boy, what gives you the right to dress it like a little girl and confuse the poor child, or a little girl and make it dress like a little boy? You can't put your gosh, I don't even know what to say. You can't express the child's feelings that early in life. You're just confusing the child.
But are you a grandma?
Yes.
You do that with your grandchildren when you buy little boy pants, blue shirt, toys, army. You're assuming they're...
If it's a little boy.
But you're assuming. What if he turns up?
If it's a little boy and God put it there as being a little boy, it's obvious it's a little boy or it's a little girl, I will go accordingly to that. If the child grows up, then we can ask help later on. But... Wait, from God? No, I mean, you know, if a 9-year-old or a 7-year-old child doesn't know whether it's boy, girl, they don't care.
Yeah, very good. Good answer. Okay, here's the thing. Genesis 5:2, he created them male and female, blessed them, called them mankind the day they were created. And, of course, the person will say, well, I don't believe in the Bible. Well, here's the thing. Fine, you believe in science? Then what do the chromosomes tell you? What is the stem on the apple? If the stem's on the apple, it's a boy. If there's no stem on the apple, it's a girl. So we're dressing according to their biological gender. There is a gender. What's so funny, I love this. There was a T-shirt being sold that said that non-binary. And then when you go to order it, it said male or female. You had to pick the cut. It's like... How does that work? Listen, kids, what are you going to do if your kid is 4 years old and says, Mommy, I want to be a dinosaur? You going to feed your child a live chicken to rip apart? I just want my child. No, you don't. See, this has everything to do with satanic movement. It has nothing to do with biology, physiology, and it doesn't even have anything to do with psyche, not at that age. You are damaging the child. If you really want to let the child grow, let the child grow as he is, stem or no stem, and be a boy or a girl. And then later on in life, if they decide, guess what? Nobody stopped anybody from being gay. But to preimpose, and as you were saying, I'm sorry, I don't know your name, we train up a child in the way they should go. And so they're going to train up the child believing he's gay. Guess what? He'll probably live a good portion of his life thinking he's gay. And one day he may go, you know what? I'm doing this because my mom and dad want me to. Okay. So the pastor, we got one more video, so I better get moving. The pastor that spoke about the woman being called a dog and Jesus is a racist, his name is Brandon Robertson, and surprise, surprise, he's gay, and he has a homosexual church, okay? Now, I want you to watch this next video and pay very close attention. This is brilliant. It's evil, and it's brilliant. Watch.
And then we go into that saga about the first humans, the Adam and Eve. And in that story, we're told that God creates humans in God's own image, the God who desires truth and the God who is truth. So it makes sense that humans would really love to comprehend the truth so that we would be like God. God gives humans freedom to learn and to explore and examine in the garden called Eden. But in almost a kind of cruel fashion, God creates a prohibition. You can eat and examine every tree in the garden, except that one in the middle. That's the tree of knowledge, God says. Don't eat of that, or you will surely die. Do you see the setup here? Humans are made in God's image. Humans desire to know the truth and to pursue knowledge. And that's the one thing God in Genesis says humans cannot pursue. They cannot eat of that tree of knowledge. And then the serpent speaks a word of truth. No, 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 he says. God just doesn't want you to eat of that tree, because if you do, you will gain knowledge. You'll be like God. You won't actually die. So they eat the fruit. Their eyes are opened. Their minds are expanded. And it's a really strange story if you think about it, because no matter how you look at this, you've got some really interesting actions coming from the God figure and the Satan figure. Here we have God actually kind of lying, if not, at least not being clear with God's own words. Because the truth is that Adam and Eve don't die after they eat of the fruit of the tree. In fact, the serpent tells the truth. Their eyes are opened. Their knowledge does, in fact, expand. And they don't die immediately.
Ta-da! Ta-da! So, he's got a big church. Really big church. What's wrong with what he said? Anything? It's all good? You like it? Go ahead.
Well, one, he's calling God a liar, saying, they did not die. They did die eventually. God didn't say, they would not have died had they not eaten of the fruit. So he's calling God a liar, first of all. And, had they not eaten that fruit, they would still be living. They'd be still living in Eden, in paradise with God. And then he says Satan is telling the truth. No, Satan absolutely lied, because of their sin and eating the fruit, they actually physically died. So, everything he's saying is just contradicted right there.
Yes, a lot of contradiction. Yes.
He is in a religion that suits his flesh, not his spirit.
That's right. That's right. And whoa, hold on. Give him back that mic. So, in what way did this theology he's trying to share, how does that cater to his flesh?
It's everything contrary to God. Everything that he said was contrary. Called him a liar. He even, if I'm not mistaken, maybe my ears are bad, but I think he said his servant, or did he say the serpent?
Serpent.
Sounded like servant to me, and it really made me mad.
Okay, but I gave you a little bit of information about this guy. How would this serve his flesh, this doctrine, and probably many of those in his church?
The doctrine is feel good. God is wrong. He wasn't all bad. It's the same thing that Satan did in the garden. Surely you will not die. Well, that's exactly what he said. Surely you didn't die right after you ate it. Excuse me. You died spiritually, not immediately, and you would have lived forever if you'd have done what you were told in the first place.
Okay. Very good. We have a hand up right here in front. I want to hear. Hang on. Wait until you get a mic.
I was going to say the same thing, that they died spiritually.
Yes. Okay, but What do you think he's trying to achieve with this twisted, horrific, listen, but brilliant, at the same time brilliant, twisting? What is he trying to achieve? How is it placating to his own flesh?
Sure.
Okay, all right. Go ahead. We have a hand up back here. What? Turn it. It should stay on.
Hello? Oh.
Yes. Okay.
Actually, I don't even know if he believes in the Lord. He's like the Antichrist. He's trying to get all these people to follow him, and nothing he's saying is truth. So yeah, maybe that kind of goes. He's just doing the devil's work.
Yeah, that goes with what Susan said earlier. I don't think he even knows the Lord, and I agree with that 100%. But what specific thing do you think he's trying to placate to through this?
Well, when he was saying that the Satan, the serpent, was speaking truth, it's like he's allowing and telling people it's okay to do what's not okay or right, because the devil, he's got truth too, and God could be a liar. So don't take the Bible at 100%. You can tweak it all you want to make sure you feel good.
Yes, yes. We have it. They're very good. We got it.
I was going to say he wanted to justify what he is doing is okay.
Yes.
Also, when he said there would be, what is it, that you would know the truth. Just got lost now.
Okay. Okay, well, let me, very good answers. Okay, one more right here, and then let me wrap this up.
Well, the church is... You said it was a gay church, right? He's a gay pastor?
Mm-hmm.
So this, all that is sin.
Okay, what does that mean? You can't give me pat answers. Draw it out. Explain it to me like I don't know what you're talking about.
So all that is sin, so everything that he is doing is sin. And so he's a lot speaking that, like they said, everything's okay. He wants it to be all okay. The word he's delivering is okay. The message that they're receiving is okay.
Right. Listen, if he can twist that scripture, and he's all the way back in Genesis, if he can twist that into saying, listen, it's just a misunderstanding. You know, look at what he said. Let me, you can come get the microphone. There you go. Let me give you a rundown of what he was saying. Okay, go ahead, Des. He ran over there only because he ran.
Well, he kept saying that we were created to... hunger for knowledge and truth, and then says, oh, but God tells them they can't go for the knowledge and truth and that it'll kill them, like making it as if God's like holding the carrot in front of their face kind of thing, and that basically God just got upset because all of a sudden now their knowledge is expanded and their eyes are open, which really fits the agenda of homosexuality, and that it's not narrow-minded, and that it's just that we have not evolved our knowledge and understanding.
Yes. Yes. Actually, that's what I was going to wrap it up with, but she, you know, so I'm going to add a little bit because I'm the pastor, right? Yeah, he said God desires truth. Whoa, 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 hold on a second. God doesn't desire anything, but then he contradicts himself. Like Mark said, he was full of contradictions. He's right. He says God desires truth, but God is truth. You can't desire and be the same thing. If you are love, you don't desire love, you are love. That's just the way it is. God is love. God is truth. But he says, he uses little words to play on, and your mind just soaks it in, but you can't. He says, and then he makes humans in his image that want truth. Why? Because we're made in his image. We desire truth too. We want to comprehend truth so that we can, he says this, so we can be like God. I'm sorry, we can never be like God. We strive to love God, but we can't be God. Then he says, he gave them freedom to explore and learn and examine. But then he sets up a prohibition. All the trees except the one in the middle. And that's why, folks, let me just tell you what I believe about the Garden of Eden. I believe that there were thousands and thousands of trees. And right in the middle was the exact same kind of tree. Didn't have any magic powers. Didn't have anything. It was just they could have ate from all of those. Maybe even some of the other trees even had bigger fruit on it, more beautiful. But this is the one he said, don't do. And they went and did it. And the moment they did it and ate of it, they were disobedient. Now they knew the difference between good and evil because they had expressed their free will to oppose God's will. But the tree itself, I don't think it really had any powers other than don't touch this. And they wanted to touch it. They said that he said that it was a setup. He made it sound like God set them up to fall. Well, here's the thing. That's not entirely wrong. God knew they were going to fall. But God already had a plan in mind. And what's the plan? To send his son to die for our sins, including homosexuality. If you receive Christ and fall in love with Christ and then turn away from those sins. And then he said this, that they ate the fruit, their eyes were open, their mind was expanded, like Desiree said. Doesn't that sound good? Who here wants your mind narrowed? Who wants to have a smaller mind? No, we all want our minds expanded. We come to Bible study so our mind and understanding of the Bible is expanded. But really, what happens? The more you know about the Bible, the more narrow it is. It's narrow. Jesus said this, broad is the road. That means a real expanded mind. Broad is the road that leads to destruction, but narrow and difficult is the road that leads to life, and few that find it. It's a narrow road, but it's a joyful road. It's a narrow road, but it's a road that's hard, but it has peace. It's a narrow road, but it leads to eternal life and bliss. Or you can go on the wide road, twist the scripture all to hell and back, do anything you want, live any way you want, and go straight to hell. And then you go, oh, I should have went on the narrow road, huh? But my mind was expanded. Man, folks, these were easy. Let me tell you, there are pastors out there that teach stuff that if you're not paying attention, those words sink in and you miss it. I scrutinize myself and the things I say. Because listen, words are, it's what, God said this. He says he esteems his word higher than his name. God gave us himself in word form. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He gave it to us. Why? Because words are powerful. It's how we communicate. It's how we tell people how we feel. That is why it is so important when we were talking with an unbeliever that we guard our words and don't just spew off Christianese because we're so comfortable with it, and make sure that we're giving the full counsel of God, the full gospel. I'm going to tell you a quick little story as we wind up here. I was doing this outreach. There was a bunch of kids there, and I gave a gospel message. And I talked about monkeys and evolution and all this stuff. And I gave the altar call, and a bunch of kids responded, right? And then one of my pastor friends went up, and he started talking to a bunch of the little kids, you know, 13, 14, 15-year-old kids, that raised their hand and said, hey, do you know what you did? They go, well, not really. Go, well, why'd you raise your hand? Well, I don't want to be a monkey. He said to me, Randy, I think you failed to give the gospel. And I was like, what? I went back and I listened to my message. Oh, I talked about Jesus. I talked about the Bible. I talked about how wrong evolution is. I talked about how God is the creator. But I didn't give the gospel. And I learned that day, when I'm talking about Jesus, I better make sure that it all comes down to the only way that anyone can be saved is through the cross of Christ. And if you really believe in the cross of Christ, you will repent. It's a natural byproduct. They go hand in hand. So, let's be careful. Let's be prayerful. Let's listen to what a pastor, a preacher is saying. Acts 17:11, for the Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians, for they received with readiness of heart and mind the things that Paul said, but they searched the scriptures daily to see if those things were so. And so God says they're more noble than the Thessalonians. Why? Because they didn't just listen to Paul, they heard Paul, and then they tested it according to scripture. So, HBC, may we be a church that you don't just trust what I say, you scrutinize it, you make sure, you go to your scripture, you make sure it's right. And if it's wrong, come talk to me and correct me. I'll receive it. But if you hear someone else say something contradictory to the word, you get in the word and you make sure that you're right and rightly dividing the word of truth. And then you go to that person and you gracefully say, sir, you are in error. Or whoever, that they're in error. And you do that lovingly to restore them to a right understanding of God. And if you know an unbeliever and they embrace this kind of stuff, you got to tell them why. And not just because they're stupid, Not just, which I prefer to get, that's the quick way. Not just because you believe. You know what? Here, one more thing, and then I'm going to wrap it up. If someone says, I don't believe in the Bible, and you say, well, I believe in the Bible, what does that matter? Listen, do you understand? It doesn't matter if they believe it or not. It doesn't matter if you and I believe it or not. It's truth with or without you and I. So when people go, well, I believe, who cares? You're putting yourself as the authority. You're not. The fact is, the Bible doesn't need me to defend it or you to defend it. We just need to stand on it. Okay? All right. Let's close in prayer. Father God, Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this time in your word. Lord, I love these. These are so much fun. But Lord, it's also a learning experience. It's also a sharpening. It's also, Lord, a challenge. And Father, tonight, without exception, Lord, we just want to know that we're grasping this, that we're, by you, Holy Spirit, you're teaching us, and that we're clinging to truth, and that, Lord, we will not waver to the right or to the left, but, Lord, that we would be those who stand upon your word, those who speak your word, those who defend your word, those who love you, Lord Jesus, for what you did on the cross for us, and that we would have eternal life, that we would have the liberty and the freedom, Lord, to know that as we walk in your ways, joy unspeakable waits for us in eternity. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
All right, let's stand and sing. And if you need prayer, we got a deacon up front that'll pray with you.